And joining us now, our good friend from NFL Network, from CBS Sports NFL coverage, Solomon Wilcott. Solly, welcome back to the show.
Well, Vic, thanks for having me. It's always good to be on with you and talk Cleveland Browns football.
It's great to get those insights. And, you know, you're here, let me explain, too. First and foremost, you're in town to do something very special with the players, and that's give them what they need to hear from a media perspective. That each year the players watch a video that kind of tells them about the do's and don'ts of media relations and the Browns. And I think this is a great idea. Try to bring in someone who's a former player like yourself, who also has that exposure to media, and help these players maybe understand a little better about what this whole media relationship is about. What's the core of your message?
Yeah, and as you well know, it's not enough to tell NFL players, don't talk to the media. I mean,
no.
That's not the answer to the question.
Right.
And as you well know, it's not a solution. At the end of the day, Vic, you know, it's a partnership. It's a strong partnership between the National Football League and all media partners and players and coaches. It's what helps our game to be the most watched sport in the world,
right?
Not just in our country. And I think the overall message is to be able to engage the media in a way that helps, I think, breeds goodwill between both sides. The positive coverage that players get personally, the positive coverage they bring for their team.
Mm-hmm.
I think you always have to remain positive. And if you don't have anything good to say, then say nothing at all. I think that's at the base, at the core of the overall message.
Sure.
You have to participate, but do so looking to gender some goodwill, and I think it'll serve everyone well.
And a couple of things that I think players probably know, but they can be reminded of by you,
yeah,
is, first of all, what media means to the overall pot of revenue that this league generates and ultimately that can flow down to them. So working with those network folks and working with the people on all levels is going to be helpful not only to the greater good of the game, but to people who play the game, or who coach the game, who are involved in it. They personally can benefit by being cooperative.
They're in a sense, they're helping to sell the game. And many of the fans, whether it's here in Cleveland, whether it's in New England, whether it's in San Francisco, the fans want to know the players. That's why everyone shows up on Sunday. They don't show up to watch me call the game. They don't show up to watch the coaches coach. They show up to watch the players. They want to get to know the players. They want to get to know the personalities behind the face mask and behind the helmet. And so players who are participating in selling the game, in terms of whether it's weekly interviews, press conferences, radio shows, that's what helps sell our sport. That's what helps build our fan base. And
sure,
so players are truly, I think if they're a strong participant, they are the driving force behind ratings. Ratings equal revenue. $120 million go directly into the locker room on every single team. That's what the salary cap is, and that money is divided up amongst the 53 players. And I think that's the great thing. And when players know that, that's what drives the deal, and I think they'll be more willing to participate.
Yeah, the network's writing those big checks to cover the games. You know, the other point, reality, is when players see you, a former player, with a broadcast career after football, that can be something that I know a lot of guys I've spoken with aspire to. Current players can see their future and say, hey, I want to do what Solomon Wilcott is doing, and point to other players who've had that success. I know the NFL does the broadcast boot camp, yeah, down at NFL Films in New Jersey. You've participated in that as well. Do you get a lot of those conversations, and is that too part of your message, that you do this thing right now while you're playing, you could end up behind the microphone like I am?
It certainly is one of the payoffs. When we talk with players and bring them into production meetings, how often is it that the producer and director, myself and my play-by-play partner, will talk about how affable and how positive and charismatic a player he is? I know this, that Peyton Manning, for the 13 years that he played in Indianapolis, he started 208 consecutive games. He never missed a production meeting for one of those games. And so Peyton Manning might throw a couple of interceptions early in the ball game, but us in the broadcast booth, we're still positive about,
right,
Peyton Manning. Because you know why? He's always positive when he's in those meetings. He's
trying to help
us do our jobs. And so that what we call that buys him a lot of goodwill.
Sure.
No, that's a great point. When his career is over, Yes, they're going to offer him a TV job. Why sure. wouldn't you? Because for years he's helped TV personalities and networks spike ratings and sure. do their job at a very high level. And so that's something that all players today really ought to keep in mind if they want to work on this side of the microphone.
Sure.
That kind of participation is also rewarding on the back end once their careers
are over. Yeah, it's the broadcasters, the producers, the directors who sit in on those sessions that usually take place the night before a game or a couple of nights before a game. We're visiting with Solomon Wilcots. He, of course, from NFL Network, from CBS Sports. You hear him on the call on CBS's coverage of Browns games. Don't have any officially scheduled for you yet through the first quarter of the season, but you're bound to have one of them. I know last year you had multiple Browns games. Yeah,
so yeah, I did their opening game, obviously, against Cincinnati
That's
Bengals.
Right.
And this year, I do know my first four games. They wait for us to do a couple of more, then they add the others.
Right.
I know I'll be in Minnesota week one. They're playing the Jacksonville Jaguars. And eventually, yes, we'll get to call a Cleveland Browns game for CBS Sports. And looking forward to that.
All right, I know you do your homework on them regardless. And let's talk about this team. New quarterback in Brandon Whedon. Some of your impressions of him.
First of all, my impressions, when I saw both he and Colt McCoy side by side, I kind of knew this team would make an early decision. And you just talent has a way of just showing up. It sort of just jumps out and grabs your attention. And that's what Brandon Whedon has done, at least with me. When I watch practice, I watch the way the ball comes out of his hand quickly. I look at the velocity, the accuracy, his ability to drive the ball further down the field with great accuracy and take advantage of the speed that they now have at wide receiver with a Travis Benjamin when I was here for minicamp. These are some of the things that I saw. So I think now he gives them the opportunity to be more prolific on offense and force NFL defenses, especially teams in the AFC North, to have to defend every blade of grass. Defensive backs, when they know you can't drive it deep, they creep closer and closer to the line of scrimmage until you can challenge them and win. He gives them that, I think, right away, and that means a world of possibilities for Trent Richardson in the running game when you can throw it deep and force defensive backs to have to back up.
And the other thing to hopefully help complement that big arm of his, that accurate arm of his, a couple of new receivers that have generated some excitement, one being Travis Benjamin, the fourth-round pick with tremendous speed, and really, Solly has looked like the best of all the receivers throughout camp, and the other, of course, Josh Gordon coming aboard as a supplemental pick, incredible-looking athlete and someone who seems to be catching up from being behind, having been out of football for more than a year, and his conditioning and his mental work, all that stuff, you know, getting mentally acclimated to the NFL, all of that coming together.
I was here covering the Cleveland Browns, as you remember, the whole week of the draft.
Right.
And I remember going into that week, and you and I had this conversation. I reported it on our coverage for the NFL Network, that if the Browns could come away with three prolific players on offense, that of running back Trent Richardson, the quarterback Brandon Whedon, and Kendall Wright, the wide receiver from Baylor, this would have been a monster draft for the Cleveland Browns. All they do is they get two of the three, and then later they get Josh Gordon, a player who arguably, when he was at Baylor, many believed he was better than Kendall Wright.
Right.
So at the end of the day, they come into the 2012 season with three prolific rookie first-year players on offense looking to infuse this offense with point production, with athleticism and speed. One can say, and then you throw in Mitchell Schwartz, who I think could be starting, as well as Travis Benjamin, you could have five young players on offense that really will give you an entirely new look in the 2012 season. I think the fans in Cleveland have a lot to be hopeful about.
Now, you know, we talk about that, and then right away, of course, you can look at the division.
Yeah.
Very tough AFC North. The opponents, who they have to deal with. Your former team, the Bengals, one of your former teams, being a formidable club that made the playoffs last year with a rookie quarterback. We know about Baltimore and Pittsburgh. How do you see the whole division playing out? And if, in fact, all this talent improvement on the Browns is there, you know, the reality of seeing it really translate on the field given what this team has to compete with in its own division.
First, I'll start by saying no one could have predicted that the Cincinnati Bengals would win 10 games with a rookie quarterback, a rookie wide receiver in A.J. Green, and that they would go on to go to the playoffs and do some of the things they did, that three teams from the AFC North would be represented in the postseason. So with that said, you know that anything is possible, even if you're like Cleveland and you're playing very young players. You, mm-hmm. you I believe the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to be challenged this year. And they have always been, as you well know, traditionally strong.
Sure.
I think they've got some growing pains to endure. Ben Roethlisberger is going to be asked to play differently by their new offensive coordinator, Todd Haley. Can they coexist in a way that allows them to move in a positive direction? I think there's going to be some challenges there. I think it's an aging defense, as we well know.
Right.
They're starting to grow long in the tooth. Will they be able to stay healthy, let alone be able to play continuously at a high level? I like the Baltimore Ravens because they're still young and at key places, like the quarterback position. I think Joe Flacco's got – he's young enough, but yet he's experienced enough.
Right.
Right now, I think he has that perfect blend of where you hope Brandon Wheaton would be in 4 years. Am I right?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
People can knock Joe Flacco, but if Brandon Wheaton was that, you say, oh, we'll take that and we'll keep going. And plus, they still have the leadership on defense.
Right.
But the all four defenses in this division are very good.
Yes.
And that's where I think where Dick Geron at least – gives you a stabilizing force, a foundation for this team to build upon. Because I think this defense can defend against the Baltimore Ravens, against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and against the Cincinnati Bengals to keep you close in those ball games.
Solly, great stuff. We appreciate it. And we do look forward to that chance when you're calling a game for CBS or NFL. Well, you will be doing the NFL Network game when the Browns play the Thursday night in Baltimore. So you will be there.
That's
right. You can't forget that. The one and only Solomon Wolcott's joining us. Thanks again, bud.
All right.
Right here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.